Acts chapter 2 and reading from verse 14 to 21. Acts 2, 14 to 21. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Okay? Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven and above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come now, and you've said you will lead us into all truth. And I pray your anointing upon me as I speak, and I pray you will open the understanding of our hearts that we may know you better. That revelation will come as we wait on your word. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, this is a very interesting passage, and one of the hallmarks of the start of the Christian faith. This is where the church was birthed, just before. This is like in that process, birth canal, it's happening, and boom, okay? First, you know, it's like the waters broke, just like in pregnancy. The waters broke and the church was birthed. What an amazing thing, isn't it? Just like it happens with natural birth, the waters break and then there is the birth of a child. We know that Jesus instructed his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 44 and 5. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Father, promised which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So they knew something special was about to happen, something supernatural. How many people were gathered in that room up there? Anyone knows? Was it 11?
120.
120.
Imagine 120 people in a room. I wonder what size that room was. Probably the size of Ashirwad Hall, maybe. You know, but that was, and even that would be a pretty packed place. Now, did they just meet for 2 hours? Anybody knows how long they were there for? You know, they were there for a few days. How do we know this? Pentecost is a Jewish festival that is celebrated 50 days after the Passover.
Yes.
Jesus was crucified just before the Passover, right? After he rose from the dead, he appeared to everybody for how many days?
40.
For 40 days, okay? So it's roughly, and then he ascended. So the time for the Pentecost was roughly 10 days. 10 days these people were packed like sardines, 120 of them in this room. I wonder if we would have had patience to wait for 120 days for something we don't even know quite sure what exactly are we waiting for. But these guys knew better than to disobey Jesus' command. Okay? As I said, Pentecost was an old Jewish festival, which was also called the Joy of the Lord. It marked the time when the Israelites were given the law of Moses, okay? The law was given to them. But in the New Testament, Pentecost marks the day when the Holy Spirit was outpoured and it was no longer grace but law, but grace being poured out upon us. It ended the era of the law and ushered in the era of grace and spirit. What an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, for God, just timing of everything, you just think about it, just absolutely amazing. The disciples were not complete strangers to the work of the Holy Spirit, because one, when Jesus sent them out two by two, he sent them empowered. And they saw signs, wonders, miracles, healings take place. Also, just before he went to Gethsemane, he says he breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. And so they had some experience of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Also, they probably remembered that John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but he who comes is greater, and he will baptize you with fire. So when they saw tongues of fire come upon them, when they heard the wind, it is something everybody experienced all at once. It was one, an individual experience, but it was also a corporate experience. It says a wind with a might, it had a sound, the mighty sound of a rushing wind. How many of us heard the wind the last few days when we had the rain? Okay, we could hear the wind howling through the windows. And it must have been something like that. And tongues of fire. How do we know that? How could Luke record this? Because probably they saw it. It was, they could feel, they could hear, and they could see. That must have been something amazing they could never forget. What happened as a result? We see supernatural boldness came upon them. Yes, we know that they received the gift of tongues. How do we know boldness came upon them? Luke records it. He actually makes special mention. He says, Peter stood up boldly, which tells me that before that, Peter was pretty scared. They were all locked up and huddled in that room. But something happened that changed and made Peter stand up and boldly proclaim the Gospels. One also has to look at this statement when it says last days. Okay? What is last days? I think when we look at time in the Bible, oftentimes, you know, it said a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like one day for God. Joel didn't even know that he was prophesying into a New Testament era. He had no idea what he was saying. And the Jews were familiar with the text. Jews who read scripture were familiar with the text. However, they needed to see, Peter realized the Jews that he was addressing needed to see that what was happening and what they were experiencing, because they say, what's happening to these men? Are they drunk? What's going on? He had to root it in scripture that they were familiar with in order for them to then be open to hearing the gospel. And so he quotes Joel. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon a particular person for a particular event. There was the office of the prophet. Not everybody could prophesy. Not everyone experienced the Holy Spirit. What happened on the day of Pentecost in the New Testament broke all New Old Testament understanding or grid by which they could understand what was going on. So what we see here is very unique. You see, the Israelites believed they were the chosen people. Only they had access to God and the right to God's presence. Now, the Spirit is coming and breaking that understanding and that mold, because they couldn't. They say, if you see in earlier in the chapter, there's a whole lot of ethnic groups mentioned there, names that we can barely pronounce, okay? Just to mention a few, Parthians, Medes, Elamites from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Arabs. Look at that. And so what we see is the Holy Spirit came multi-generational. because he's quoting Joel. Old, young, men, women, male, slave, free. Everybody gets caught up in this work of the Holy Spirit, cutting across social, economic, ethnic, language, gender barriers. Joel was prophesying into the New Testament. God was going to use his Holy Spirit for every, he says, for all who call on him will be saved. He was prophesying about one new man in Christ. What an amazing thing. Because of which today you and I are here. We were not Israelites. We are not Jews. But God has included each one of us. He talks about dreams and visions. This speaks about a heightened Holy Spirit supernatural activity in their lives. And actually, this is supposed to be our new normal. It wasn't just for 2,000 years ago. We are supposed to be able to have dreams, visions, prophetic. This is a normal for each and everyone. All of us here on this screen are capable of having that. And I pray that, God, you know, ask for it, hunger for it. I remember when the kids were small and church was demanding and the business was very demanding. We would work 12 to 14 hours flat every day, nonstop. And I said, God, I can't give you uninterrupted devoted time like I can now. I said, but I give you my nights. Will you speak to me in my sleep? Will you speak to me in dreams? And I'm telling you, I've had dream after dream after dream. And significant dreams where God has spoken to us of things to come. God has warned us of things, of trouble that was coming, and it would be bang on. And I love that because I know God is speaking. Because it has happened in the past, now when dreams come, I know not to dismiss them, but to take them seriously. How many of you would like God to speak to you in dreams? How many of you have had God speak to you in dreams? Yeah. So ask God for more, okay? Ask God to speak to you in dreams and visions, and I believe he will do it. So what can we take away from this passage? We are living in those last days. Last days is not last days. It's an era. It's a season. Last days started in AD. Okay? You see, all the writers of the New Testament speak of last days as though it was just about to happen. We are living in the last days, and we've been living in the last days for the last 2,000 years. We don't know when Jesus will return. He says he will come like a thief in the night. They lived with that urgency and that expectation. And I think somewhere, I know for myself, I feel, it'll happen. All the signs and things haven't happened. It's going to happen. I don't know. You don't know. But let's live with that sense of urgency that the last days could just well be today or tomorrow, okay? We need to keep walking in step with the Holy Spirit. Because it's interesting to note when you go on reading Acts, the same man, Peter, who explains the prophecy of Joel to everybody, suddenly has a problem with non-Jews. And Paul and Barnabas have a serious clash with him on this. So much so, God has to speak to Peter in a vision in Acts 10, 9 to 16, where he has to see this bedsheet come down with unclean animals and says, Peter, eat. Peter stumbled on this issue of, can non-Jews be saved? Do they have to go through circumcision? So we may think we know, and sometimes we can fall back into familiar ways of understanding the Christian faith, familiar ways of understanding the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit cannot be contained, and certainly not by our life experience or our understanding. Okay? I think 94 is a great witness to that, when there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Some of us know it as the Toronto blessing. It broke every mold we understood. All we knew was, okay, people pray, you may have some tears, you may have a little shaking, you'll speak in tongues. 94 broke that mold. People were laughing, crying, falling on the floor, all kinds of manifestations happened that we had never experienced in our lifetime. And so once again, I'm saying, God, will you break in and break our understanding of you and how you work? I don't want to box you in. I don't want to contain you. But I want you to fall afresh on us today. And so we're going to have a little time now where we're going to wait on the Holy Spirit. Okay? How many of you think God can speak to you right now, give you visions, give you prophetic words? He is capable. No problem with him. Okay? Are we willing? You know, like I read from John 7, he says, come to me if you are thirsty, and streams of living water will not flow into you, will flow out of you. Okay, so we're going to play a couple of worship songs. I want you to connect with God the way you can. So maybe you want to sing along, maybe you want to be silent, you want to pray. I've asked you to keep your journal and your notebook at hand, because if God gives you something, write it down. Maybe God may speak something just personal, just between you and him. Write it down. Okay? So let's invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask now that you will come like a mighty rushing wind, fill our hearts and flood our souls.